Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, October the 25th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, there was a big debate tonight in Pennsylvania, and I have to confess that I didn't see it live. It was just not convenient for me to see it live, but I've seen some clips of it. This is the debate between the Democrat John Fetterman and the Republican Dr. Oz. And this is a very interesting campaign because we've never had something like this before. To my knowledge, I don't remember anything like this before, where one of the candidates had a stroke like 4 or 5 months ago, and he hasn't quite recovered yet. I mean, he's, from a medical standpoint, I guess he's probably recovering a lot, but from the standpoint of a candidate, that's a totally different standard. I mean, he's got problems. He's got problem understanding. He's got problem answering questions. And so tonight they had a debate, and he had some problems. I mean, what else you can say? I actually feel bad for the guy. I'm kind of surprised that his wife or his family have not stepped in and said, look, you know, just forget about running. Let's do it some other time. You got time. In a couple of years, you can run again. But the idea that this man is being forced to campaign is pretty bad because he cannot do it. I mean, it's obvious from some of the clips that he cannot do it. The other thing is that he got confused on some of the issues. And some of the clips that I saw, he was denying, for example, or he was changing his views on fracking. Obviously, fracking is very important in Pennsylvania. So I'm going to take a look at the whole debate, okay, before I can give you a full summary of it. But just from what some of the clips that I've seen and some of the reviews that I've seen, it probably didn't go very well for Mr. Fetterman. Now, a lot of people in Pennsylvania have already voted. So you have to wonder how many people who had never seen him before have already voted for him. That's one of the reasons that I think the early voting should not be that early. I mean, here in Texas, we're voting 2 weeks before, but in Pennsylvania, they've been voting for a long time. And many of the people who saw him tonight at that debate saw him for the first time. And you have to wonder if they feel like maybe they want to go back and they want to change their votes. The other thing that's happening, and the Democrats have fallen into this trap in not just Pennsylvania, but Arizona, and I think in New Hampshire. The other thing that's happening is that the Democrats thought that some of these candidates that President Trump had endorsed were bad candidates. But in fact, they're turning out to be pretty good candidates, like Masters in Arizona, Herschel Walker in Georgia, the general whose name I don't remember in New Hampshire, and this fellow, Dr. Oz. You know, if you follow Selena Zito, who's probably as good as any reporter following Pennsylvania politics, she'll tell you that Dr. Oz has been out there campaigning with people. He's going to all of the different town meetings and town halls, and he's been out there campaigning directly with people, whereas Fetterman has been running basically a social media campaign because he doesn't have physically the ability to get out there and campaign with people like he may have at one time or another. So I don't know exactly tonight what to tell you about this debate other than I'm going to take a look at it. But I have a feeling that it didn't go well for John Fetterman. It's certainly based on some of the clips and some of the analysis that I've seen so far. Now, the Fetterman campaign went out of its way to lower expectations, which is, I guess, what you do when you have a candidate who has difficulty understanding or speaking. But I look at the big picture here. I just don't think that his family, frankly, is showing a great deal of admiration or love for this man. They should have told him, don't run, take a year off, don't run, but they let him run. I also think, and I'll say it again, I think they underestimated Dr. Oz. The other thing that Democrats are underestimating, and that takes me to my other topic, is what's happening in New York. And what the Democrats are underestimating is the red wave that is going to hit them in a couple of weeks. And you're seeing this to some extent in New York. The New York's governor's race is now down to single digits. That was like 20 points not long ago. And what's happening in New York? The same thing that's happening in Philadelphia, the same thing that's happening in other cities, and that is crime and people angry with Democrats running these cities, people upset with the way the criminals are getting their way. And all of this is really coming to a head as we look ahead at these elections in 2 weeks. But the governor's race in New York has become nothing but about crime and the policies of the governor being too lenient with crime. Certainly in New York City, the same thing. So the Democrats are underestimating what's about to hit them. And what's about to hit them is a pretty big red wave. The only thing we don't know, honestly, at this point is how big the red wave is going to be. Now, you hear all kinds of reports that it could be really big. I don't know. But in the House, you're probably looking at 20 seats, maybe more. I think probably more. And in the U.S. Senate, you're looking at probably a Republican takeover, particularly if Dr. Oz can win in Pennsylvania. That's the key. If the Republicans can hold Pennsylvania, then everything goes downhill after that for the Democrats, because they just have to pick up one seat. The Republicans just have to pick up one seat, and they will have at the very minimum a 51-49 majority. So it doesn't look good right now for the Democrats. And the real question I think that everybody's asking is, what happens to President Biden if the Democrats have a bad night? Are there going to be calls for President Biden to resign? I think there will be. I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats begin to ask themselves the question, and that is, how much longer can this man stay in the White House? I mean, again, look at him. Look at how he talks and how he moves around. This is not a man who is enjoying or at least looking very good as president of the United States. That's a little bit of speculation on my part, I know. But I think that if they have a very bad night, there's going to be talk of removing or at least resignation and asking Biden to step aside so that somebody younger could step in. That, of course, would be Kamala Harris. That would also raise a lot of concerns among Democrats because they're not really happy with her either. So the Democrats are really in a very bad situation. I just don't know how else to say it. The border is totally out of control. The numbers that we are getting about people crossing the border, it's just crazy what's happening on the border. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. I don't know how anybody can defend the Biden policies on the border. In fact, they're not defending them. If you listen to Democrats, they're not defending what the president is doing on the border. They're doing the exact opposite. They are avoiding it. They're walking away from it. They're talking about abortion. They're talking about gun control here in Texas. They're not talking about the border, Democrats, because they simply cannot defend what's happening on the border. Well, let me leave you with a little thing from 1983, a little thing from on this day in history. In 1983, a lot of us woke up to the news that the United States had gone into Grenada. Grenada is an island in the Caribbean, an island that had become taken over by a communist president or leader, and that leader was getting very close to Cuba and president and Cuban dictator Fidel Castro. Now, that in itself was not the real reason that the United States went in. The real reason is the geographic proximity of Grenada. If you have Grenada, let's say Grenada becomes a communist ally, and as a consequence, a Soviet ally, then you could put a military base, an Air Force base in Grenada, and you could be very close to the Panama Canal. And that was the military importance of invading Grenada and removing the government of Grenada, which President Reagan did on this day in 1983. It was a very simple operation, obviously not much of a military operation. The Marines went in, and within a short time, they had overthrown the president or the government of Grenada, a government, left-wing government associated with Cuba at the time. But the real military importance was the proximity to the Panama Canal and the idea that if you put Soviet MiGs or Soviet planes there at a military base, you would be giving the Soviet Union tremendous proximity to the canal. And that's something that President Reagan was not going to tolerate. He didn't. So we went into Grenada, and that was the end of that. It was a huge victory, really, for not just the Reagan administration, but it was a huge victory for freedom, because it demonstrated that there were limits to what the Soviets could do in this part of the world. So it was actually a very big victory for freedom, and a very big defeat for Cuba and the Castro regime. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.